changing people's hearts and minds about abortion and euthanasia? It's an enormous effort. Now, some people can watch a 30-second television ad or see a picture of an unborn child and be transformed. Well, but for most, it takes weeks, months, even years of education, asking questions, and working through issues. Well, that is where Healing the Culture wants to be the resource. Founded in 2003 by Father Robert Spitzer and Camille Pauly, Healing the Culture has grown into an internationally recognized organization with tremendous influence in the cultural battle over abortion and euthanasia. Well, joining me today is Camille to the morning show, and she's going to share more about this wonderful organization. Good morning, Camille. Thank you so much for joining the Morning Blend.
Good morning, Brenda. Bless you today.
Ah, thank you. And blessings to you, too, in the wintry South Dakota. Boy, we think we have extreme weather.
It's not that bad.
You say not that bad, but as a native from Seattle, you were telling me, boy, there is quite a difference. So we really appreciate so much of your time today. Now, in 2003, with collaboration with Father Spitzer, founded Healing the Culture. Kind of tell us about the early days of your program.
Sure. Father Spitzer had an idea that nobody was doing the work in the pro-life movement of helping people to understand the philosophical basis behind why we are pro-life, not just that we're pro-life and what we're supposed to think about the issues, but why would we be pro-life in the first place? So he created a whole philosophical curriculum on why we are pro-life, dealing with the deep issues like happiness, success, quality of life, love. What is freedom? What are human rights? What is a human person? How do you define these words? And what are the principles of ethics and logic and truth and justice that you can get out of an understanding of these deeper terms? And so he and I went to work in 1993 to create a curriculum. He wrote a book. He did a bunch of video series. And then in 2003, we formed our own organization called Healing the Culture. Prior to that, we were a project of a state right to life group. And it's just taken off internationally since then. We've been around the world, India and the United Kingdom and Spanish-speaking countries, and are just spreading this curriculum. And it's been a fantastic and very uplifting and positive ministry for me for the last 25 years.
Well, Camille, you know, I've had an opportunity to talk with Father Spitzer before, and he is such a science-minded priest. And from your resources and what you've been able to compile, we recognize as a church that being pro-life is our faith. But for those who are not Christians, those that don't even know God, why is being pro-life or should be being pro-life important to a person without faith?
Brenda, I will tell you first. First of all, I want to say that just because someone's Christian doesn't mean they're even going to have the worldview of a Christian. So I in some ways, you got to lump those two groups together.
Oh.
But it's important to be pro-life because being pro-life is all about recognizing the dignity of who you are as a human person. And if you are not seeing the intrinsic dignity of an unborn child, you're not seeing it in yourself and you are radically underliving your life. The pro-choice movement has co-opted all of these terms and gotten people to believe that happiness is about living for yourself, physical pleasure, right? Ego gratification, that success is achievement and doing better than others and being better than others and having more than others, that freedom is about all my choices all the time, open to me and being able to pick whatever I want, regardless of the consequences to me or anybody else. That human rights are, you know, my rights, regardless of other people's rights. And it has destroyed the human capacity for love, the human capacity for self-sacrifice, creativity, compassion. People don't even know what compassion is anymore. It's critical for people to become pro-life because everything that leads to being pro-life is everything that leads to living a fulfilled life in itself. We always say people cannot see the image and likeness of God in an unborn child because they cannot see it in themselves. And that's what we do at Healing the Culture that's unique. We help people understand those terms in a deeper way and see their own dignity so that they then understand why there is meaning and dignity and personhood in an unborn child.
Camille Pauly is the president and co-founder of Healing the Culture. She is joining me today to talk more about her organization and being pro-life in America today. Well, Camille, we've lived with Roe versus Wade for almost 50 years.
Yeah,
so how has legalized abortion affected really all the other aspects of our politics and our American culture?
Well, some of the justices, interestingly enough, during the Dobbs hearing, the Dobbs case, which, you know, has the potential to overturn Roe versus Wade, that was heard earlier in December, some of the pro-abortion justices were pointing this out, that people have come to rely on Roe versus Wade as a way of life, as if that were an argument to keep Roe versus Wade, right? People relied on segregation in schools and slavery for many, many years as well, and that was not an excuse for keeping those things legal. But it is a fact that people rely on them. They have formed their whole lives around the capacity to live as they wish, how they choose, without regard to somebody else's life. And it's been enormously destructive, not just to the millions of people who have had to sacrifice their lives because of it, you know, unborn children, but also because it has completely changed people's understanding of love, therefore marriage, therefore sex. It's completely changed their understanding of, of their own dignity. So it's so deeply rooted. Abortion is so deeply rooted in our culture that you cannot have just a political solution. You can't have just a legislative solution. You have to have a deep evangelizing educational commitment for the long term to root out the destructive and shallow and narrow definitions that the abortion movement has foisted on people for the last 50 years. And it's hard work. It's long-term work, and it's going to go way beyond when Roe versus Wade is overturned.
Oh, no doubt. Well, Camille, has the Roe versus Wade decision, has that decision been used to influence other aspects of life when it comes to, you know, medical decisions or medical privacy?
Well, sure it does. I mean, you don't really even have privacy anymore, but people think they do, but they don't. But it's caused people to think that my body is, I'm an automaton. This is my body. It's my choice. And so therefore, I have the right to choose to do whatever I want with my body. And of course, that affects other issues like the transgender issue. You know, this is my body. If I want to change the sex I am, I can. Contraception, you know, this is my body. If I want to poison my body so that I can't have children, you know, that's my right to do. Drugs, drug use, it's very hard to defend any kind of a law against, you know, radical drug use when we've just told people this is your body, you can do whatever you want with it. So yes, it's had a serious effect, not only in the medical field, but in a lot of other arenas of our lives as well. And the truth is, human beings are not, you know, completely independent of one another. We share a dependency, an interdependency with one another. And if we don't, you know, not only is that contrary to Christian teaching, but it's contrary to a healthy civilization and social life. You know, end up with people who are living for themselves only, and you end up in chaos and disaster, which is where we are headed, if not already there.
Oh, absolutely. I could not agree with you more. Camille Pauly is joining me today. She is the president and co-founder of Healing the Culture. Camille, I've enjoyed our conversation so much, but there is more that I want to ask you about. Will you stay with me through the break so we can continue our discussion the next half hour?
I would love to. You bet.
Thanks so much. I am continuing now my conversation with Camille Pauly. Camille is the president and co-founder of Healing the Culture, along with Father Robert Spitzer. Healing the Culture is working to bring forward a pro-life generation. Camille, thank you so much for staying with me this morning.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you, Brenda.
Well, for our listeners who maybe missed our first half of the conversation, remind our listeners again about Healing the Culture and how it was founded.
Sure. So we were founded by myself and Father Robert Spitzer in 1993. 2003 is when we formally, organized the mission, the ministry, the organization. And the whole purpose of the organization is to provide people, families, homes, homeschoolers, schools, churches, and other, educational ministries, the resources they need to deeply teach people why they should be pro-life and how to be pro-life. And so, you know, we have a website, healingtheculture.com, that people can go to and access resources for their teenage children, for their college-age students, for adults. And now we even have a program for little kids, kindergarten and up.
Camille, hundreds of thousands of people are going to take to the streets across the United this month in Walk for Lives. As we know, as you mentioned, the Supreme Court is deliberating on the Dobbs case. So how important is it this year that we make our voices heard in support of life?
Very important. People need to know And the justices need to see that this is a massive movement and it's not going away and it's growing instead. So we really encourage people to get out for the March for Life. It's still happening. It's not being shut down by, you know, the vaccine requirements. The event is still going on and people need to be there. It's going to be cold, but it's always been cold and that doesn't frighten us away. So people need to get out to those marches and walks. More important this year than ever because the Dobbs case will be decided and the announcement will be made in June. And so we need a strong force of pro-life people. And we also need to be able to support each other and see how strong this movement is so that we don't give up and we don't lose hope. You know, that even if Roe versus Wade is overturned in June, there's going to be a tremendous amount of work to do. States that are already liberal are going to get even worse. It's going to be even more deadly for a lot of children in those states. They'll come up with new ways to thwart the laws in the states that are pro-life. And so we'll have to bolster and reinforce our strength, our faith, and our hope. And that's what the march does. The marches and the walks help us to see that we are not alone and that we're young, you know, there's young and old together and that there are many different faiths and denominations that join in this effort. And so make sure you're there. That's what I would say to your listeners. Make sure you are there so that you will, you know, you'll have that dose of hope, but you'll also be a source of hope for other people.
Of course, we know the big marches both on the East Coast in Washington, D.C. and West Coast in the San Francisco area. Here in Oregon, they will be marches in the state capitol and also in Olympia for the state of Washington. Well, you bring up a good point, Camille, and I want to come back to this. With this decision that we are waiting for in June, you said, if the Supreme Court finds in favor of the Mississippi bans that they are, you know, being tried against, you know, does that mean that is an end to abortion in the United States?
Well, it depends on how they render their decision. There's a number of things that they could do. They could find a way to uphold Roe versus Wade and yet, you know, allow Mississippi to keep their, you know, their law. There's ways they could do that. I don't think that's what they're going to do. They could overturn Roe versus Wade. I happen to be a big believer that that's what's going to happen. Or they could declare that the unborn child is a human person and, you know, that could do away with abortion entirely. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that middle one is going to occur. I think Roe versus Wade will be overturned. It was very clear that the majority of the justices were convinced that Roe versus Wade was a terrible decision, not just because of the murder of so many innocents, but it was terribly decided. It was based on lies. It was presented as this ridiculous compromise, which it absolutely was not. And, you know, it's a complete violation of the most fundamental rights, constitutional rights of human beings. Clarence Thomas kept asking in the hearing in December, what is the right at stake? He kept asking the pro-abortion attorney, what's the right at stake here? And she kept saying, well, liberty is the interest, the liberty of the woman. And of course, Justice Alito comes back and says, well, the unborn has an interest to life, right? And she acknowledges this at some point. Yes, the unborn child has an interest in the life right. Well, the most basic principle of logic, the most basic principle of justice is that when you have a liberty interest and a life interest, the life interest has to take priority because liberty is a moot point if you don't have life, right? Life is a more fundamental right than liberty. So I'm convinced that justices see right through all of the argumentation of the other side. They have known for many years that this was wrongly decided. It's been a travesty. It deserves to be thrown in the ash heap of history, and I think Roe is going to go.
Camille Pauly is the president and co-founder of Healing the Culture, joining me today for a very intriguing conversation on the abortion laws here in the United States. Camille, I spent some time in preparation for our discussion today on your webpage. It is a wealth of fantastic information. For our listeners, tell us where they can find it and some of the great things that they're going to be able to access to when they go to Healing the Culture.
Sure, healingtheculture.com. It's pretty easy to remember, healingtheculture.com. And we've got a program for high school students called Principles and Choices. It's a curriculum, textbook-based curriculum that you could use in a homeschool or a family, a traditional school setting, or even in a religious education program. We have another website, respectlife.university. That's for adults and college students. And it's little five-minute videos that answer questions like, what about rape and incest? What about life of the mother? So that's respectlife.university. And then my favorite program, actually, we're just launching this in a couple months, but people can access it now. It's a program called Philo and Sophie, Philosophy for Children, and it takes our pro-life curriculum and it presents it to very small children in age-appropriate ways. We don't talk about abortion, but we counter all the arguments of the pro-abortion movement using the principle of non-contradiction, right? It can't be a baby and not a baby at the same time. Father Spitzer's four levels of happiness and how to live for the higher levels. And people can access that curriculum at philoandsophie.org. And it's kindergarten, first, second, third grade ages. It's video-based. It's presented a lot like Sesame Street vignettes. There are teacher resources and parent tools and activities and games and exercises and take-home assignments. And again, you can do this as a parent with your child. You can do this in a school. You can do this in your religious education program. And I absolutely love the program because it's so professionally done. It's a lot of fun, very funny vignettes, and really hits the pro-life issues with young people where it needs to be, where it needs to go with them, really forming their young minds about what real happiness is and what real freedom means when they're very young. So again, that's philoandsophie.org.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Camille, you are hard at work, and there is always more work to be done. So we sure appreciate all of your time and all of your effort today.
Oh, thank you so much. I love what you do, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. We'll keep you in our prayers, and I encourage your listeners to pray for us.
Oh, we most definitely will. And again, that is Camille Pauly. She's the president of Healing the Culture. I will be sure to add links to where you can get right to all of those web pages and resources that Camille was just talking about. You're going to find those links on the podcast of this interview, on our Hail Mary Media app, or on our webpage at materdayradio.com.